The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Enjoy his videos, observations, and rants at hearustalk.com/whoishe.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Also, this podcast is being curated on djnewstyleshow.com. Who would have fucking guessed it? All the episodes you can listen to at djnewstyleshow.com. We're doing something new here, folks. Doing something a little different. Let's not say new, because I don't know if anybody's done this before, and I don't want to hear, but, well, you know, what you're doing really has been, you know, Keith and the girl and fucking Adam Kerr. I don't give a shit. I've never done it before. It's new to me. What I've decided to do is I've decided to reduce the length of the episodes and increase the frequency, which means there will be 2 episodes a week, but there'll be an hour. So it's still the same amount of show, but they're going to be strung out 2 releases a week, starting right now. The show basically had never had a description. It never had an about. Any site I would post it to, there would be that really daunting task of describing what the hell the show is. And when you talk about your own shit and you talk about things you hate, and it's just a random stew ranging from, oh, an interview with someone from College Humor, to an interview with a black guy in Chicago, to, hey, Quick Check really pissed me off, pleased me. You can't come up with anything. So I've decided that I'm going to take the show in a little bit of a different direction. And it's a very, very minor change, relatively speaking. I'm going to try to do my best to use this show to make the world a better place for me. Just for fucking me. By letting all of you know the behavior modifications that I want you to fucking exhibit and really consider doing. Because a lot of you, not all of you, there are some of you that are perfect just the way you are, but the great majority of you irritate me to no fucking end, to the point where I will yell in my private time at things you've done. So let's just get this started right now. Let's just get this fucking going and get it rolling. The movies. Oh, would you stop standing up and getting him? No, it's not that kind of thing. It's not that kind of fucking thing. I want to talk a little bit about the experience of going to the theater, but I'm not going to make the usual complaints. A lot of that shit goes without fucking saying. People are going to be annoying, and it's just going to fucking happen. But maybe I want to go to the movies, and I want to make a fucking day of it. Does that make me such a bad fucking person? And has anybody not fucking done that? That you've gone to the movies, the movie you paid for is over with, and maybe you didn't have quite enough of a movie experience that you move on and skedaddle into a movie that's just starting. You've never done that? I tell you I do it, and you look down on me like I'm some kind of a fucking criminal? You fucking pompous cocksucker. How dare you? I know that you've done it. Right. I know you've done it. As my dog fucking strums my goddamn guitar because his fucking Kong filled with peanut butter probably rolled under it. The thing is, they make enough fucking money. They put out dog shit left and fucking right. And all these movies cover pretty much what they fucking make. Look at the number one movie of the last few weeks. I don't know what it is currently, but I know that since its release, at least a couple weeks after that, Little Fockers was the number one fucking movie in America. And you gotta excuse me a fucking second. This fucking dog, I'm gonna skin you. I'm gonna fucking skin you, and I'm gonna fucking, yeah, I'm not gonna do a fucking thing to you. His fucking bone or whatever got caught under my guitar, and I'm hearing him fucking blast a G chord. It's just getting to my fucking nerves. Little Fockers was an astounding hit in America. And I saw it because I stole it. Yes. Yes. We went to see a movie, and then guess what? After that, it was playing. So we walked in, and we decided to watch it. And typically, a movie that's pure shit, if it's free, you give it a little more slack, and you enjoy it. Not with Little Fucking Fockers. I swear to God, this fucking... you're gonna have to fucking forgive me, because I'm gonna murder my goddamn dog. You would fucking think, if you get the thing filled with peanut butter, handed back to you, you'd be grateful and just sit there with your dumb cockapoo face and just fucking chew it. But no, you're gonna bat it under the fucking guitar again. And you little shit. You little fucking shit. Here, you want your fuck? Here's your fucking thing. Go get it. Go fucking. And you know what? Now you're not gonna bother me because I'm putting it over there. Huh? Right, Teddy? Thank you. Hey, listen, no hard feelings. No hard feelings. The DJ New Style Show, everybody. Making the world a better place for me. Holy shit. We are off to an amazing fucking start. Just an amazing start. I try to fucking improve the world so I don't have to be fucking frustrated. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to eventually delve into some kind of fucking therapy, which is essentially the same shit I talk about on this fucking show, where some fucking sneering asshole with grandma glasses scribbles into a yellow pad and tells me that, you know, maybe in your formative years that you experience... I don't give a shit. Okay? I don't care. I'm not going to try and reach out to improve anything. Okay? I'm not going to. I don't need to. Because I can do things like go to the movies and see Little Fockers and be completely fucking upset, exactly as I should be. I know what I'm going to feel. I anticipate my feelings after the movie, before the movie going, and I know I'm going to absolutely hate it, but I still put myself through it. And even though it was free, it was still the biggest pile of fucking dog shit. Terrible movie. Terrible. But America fucking spoke, and they loved it. Why did they love it? Why was it the number one movie in fucking America? Why? Is it because there were two successful movies before it? Possibly. Or maybe it was because they were giving out free fucking tickets to anybody who would print them out. Anybody. There was a fucking blog post on one of the sites that Amanda goes to. I don't know. Hip to Save or fucking Let's All Save a Goddamn Bundle or fucking Grammys Coupon Blog. I don't know what the fuck. They all have fucking terrible names. But they all post the same shit. It's like, oh, free night at the movies. Meet the Fockers. Specifically Meet the Fockers. Not like free night at the movies. Here's half off of a ticket. Go see what you want to. No. Here's a free ticket to the shit fucking movie with the one that makes Robert De Niro look like a goddamn asshole and forces him into saying shit like Godfucker. Ugh. I could not tell you how fucking painful it was to see that fucking movie. There wasn't really anything that made me even smile. And I wasn't spending any money. If I had paid to see this fucking thing, I would have been in a murderous rage. But it was free, and so I really just saw it for what it was. Pure fucking shit. And I'm amazed that, you know, that more movies don't fucking do this. Because they continue to put out shit. You look at the fucking preview, and it's, oh, Vince Vaughn, he really knows how to work the fucking system, doesn't he? His character's so hip to the game. Every fucking movie, the same fucking thing. It looks okay, sure. Hey, I'd see that. And then you go see it and it's fucking dog shit. So at what point do we realize that maybe we don't need to fucking do, we don't even need to go there if it's free? At what point do these fucking hip to save fucking coupon blogs, whatever the fuck they are, at what point did they just say, oh, hey, look, we could get free tickets to a movie that sucks shit and it's not even fucking newsworthy? And instead they put up the free Ronzoni pasta, goddamn 50 cents off of a fucking Fusilli box instead of that shit. No. Free. And then it boosts the ticket sales. And then it gets a higher rating. And then we have to sit through a painfully mundane interview with one of the movie's actors on fucking Jay Leno or some other goddamn show where they sit and they're like, oh, you know, I do like a deep fried turkey. Great. We can connect with you. You fucking nothing. I'm just fucking tired of it. I'm tired of being fucking saturated and steeped in these fucking the knowledge that something might be good when I know for a fact it isn't. I'm just fucking tired of that. Giving it away because it's shit and we need the numbers so that we can make more shit. And that just happens over and fucking over and fucking over again. And a lot of it is the fact that it's free. And these people now, there's a whole network of them. These people, I don't know what they fucking did before the dawn of this shit. But these coupon enthusiasts, of which Amanda is one. And thankfully not at the level that I've discovered. There's a new level of fucking coupon craziness. I saw this, and by the way, can you sense that I'm fucking physically pained having to say that word? There was this fucking special that was on, where it detailed the a couple of the purchases of some enthusiasts that were in the lifestyle. Let's just say they really loved saving shit. And they loved bragging how, 34 years, I ain't never paid for no toothpaste. Congratulations. Great. That's a wonderful thing. If you can go and live your life and not pay for soap, toothpaste, deodorant, whatever, you know, great. But at what point do you realize that, you know, people are going to fucking catch on and the people who make the fucking toothpaste are going to say, hey, we're getting fucked here by these people on TLC. And stop it. And then you have to fucking pay for the goddamn toothpaste. Why don't you just shut the fuck up and let the people get the fucking free toothpaste? And I watched this goddamn special, and this guy has dedicated an entire floor of his house to storing shit that he got for free. He gave up the ability to have a fucking garage and a family room to create a warehouse of shit. And they showed it. And as he opened the door, they took the camera crew downstairs like to see the guy's two-bedroom house. Two bedrooms upstairs, and then a garage and family room downstairs. And as the guy went downstairs, he's like, hey, look what I've got behind this door. And he opened the door, and it looked like the back of every fucking retail chain I've ever fucking worked at. Just a row after row of five-shelf fucking contraptions filled with oatmeal, soap, deodorant, laundry detergent. And they estimated that he had 150 years worth of fucking everything. They showed a goddamn box of just like one kind of deodorant. And I'm like, well, okay, that shit doesn't spoil. It's not going to go bad. If the guy's furnace blows out, maybe it melts, but he goes and he gets more, whatever. So he's done. He never has to buy deodorant again. But then they show this little wormy, snake-faced motherfucker at his computer complaining about having to cut paper. By the way, they asked him how he does it, and he says, well, you print them out and you cut them. But the first week or two, I noticed I was getting blisters on my fingers. So I got this industrial paper shredder, like the kind that you would have in fucking grade school art class to cut construction papers so you can make a fucking a turkey with your fucking hand. Just miserable. So the guy has this industrial paper cutter. And he's just... And he would cut out all this shit. And he would pull out this book. Like, so organized. And I guess you have to be. But he would cut all the goddamn coupons. And then pulled out this book filled with little pages of, like, the clear sleeve pages that you would put in a binder if you collected fucking Topps baseball cards in 1992. Just filled with 35 cents off of Zest fucking soap. And file them. And then he would say, and this is where the math comes in. See, some supermarkets double the coupon if it's under a dollar. And on Saturday, they're having a sale on this and that. And he had a whole fucking legal pad of calculations to go and get more shit. And I thought that they were highlighting what he had done. What he had already accomplished. But the purpose of this fucking special, the whole goddamn deal, was a lead up to him going to the grocery store again to get more fucking shit. And he would go and he would have a train of fucking carts. And at one point, after having told us that he already had 150 years worth of fucking deodorant, they show this fat, wormy fuck who looks like the DiGiorno pizza guy from a couple years ago. It's not delivery. It's fucking DiGiorno. Whatever fucking character actor that guy is. I think he was in that movie. It doesn't even fucking matter. Oh, the hot chick likes the geek, and he's the friend. Ugh, just hideous. Absolutely hideous. He dumps this fucking basket of deodorant into one of the carts. And meekly says to the fucking the help, but because he needs help. So the supermarket is dedicated staff to follow him around the shop. He goes, I guess I'll never have to smell bad. And he was waiting for a laugh, and he got nothing but an embarrassing smile. If you had to apply audio to the smile he got, it was, And that's all he could do. And at one point, you could tell he was embarrassed that he's in this lifestyle, because they've seen his fucking warehouse, they've seen what he has to do, the resources it takes, the fucking trailer hitch, the goddamn special order of cereal. He had a special order, a fucking pallet of cereal that he was taking away for free. So he got about $900 to $1,000 worth of shit for, I don't know, like what, fucking $100, maybe $50. He's like, well, I'm going to donate some of it. So I give it to the church. Yeah, well, why do you have 150 fucking years worth of goddamn deodorant? You're never going to fucking use it. Just take it away. And who the fuck wants to smell like one deodorant for the rest of your goddamn life? Well, I'm going to put deodorant on again, the same one I've been wearing since I was 25. Don't you ever want a little bit of fucking variance in your goddamn life? I don't know. The whole fucking thing is stupid. The guy is obviously, he loves this life and has no problem just exposing it to the fucking world so that other people can do it and then companies can ultimately realize, hey, we're not making any fucking money. We're not making shit because an asshole in fucking Missouri has a trove of fucking Reichardt Ocean scent. Or whatever the fuck it is. It's just fucking... It's maddening. Absolutely maddening. And I'm working on our house. And Amanda is a very low-level coupon enthusiast. She'll buy shit that we need. Or get shit that's free. And then bring it back. And show me the whole bounty. We've already talked about... In weeks past, we've discussed the guess how much it is game. Guess how much I paid? I don't know, fucking $10. $0! We've discussed that already, and I've played it a million fucking times. I know the answer now immediately, and she's bored of it, so she doesn't even ask me. She just brings home the free shit. And now, trying to live in the house that we bought, we're running out of fucking space. And so I'm looking at boxes of shit that we have to store, and I'm having a fucking night terror of being that guy in that tucked-in polo and fucking khakis, looking like a goddamn Best Buy manager, just smiling as he opens up the door to his fucking warehouse of Quaker Oats and fucking and Dawn detergent. And it just fucking haunts me that I'm having nightmares of living like a fucking hoarder. That I'm gonna open a door and it's just gonna be nothing but wall to wall shit. And that is my I want nothing. I want fucking nothing. If I could just have a room with a nice table and a fucking bed and a clock and a computer, the smallest of setups. That's all I want. And a TV and a couch. Okay, let's be fucking real here. I need to just fucking sit down and watch something occasionally, but I don't want anything. I don't want any fucking Excedrin for fucking tension headaches or fucking Dayquil flu. I don't need every fucking permutation of medicine that exists. I don't need it. I know it's free. I don't fucking need it. I know we can go see Meet the Fockers and print out the tickets. I don't fucking need it. Just because it's free, I don't fucking want it. Because I know one day I'm going to wake up. And I'm going to step out of bed and I'm going to crunch a fucking Rite Aid bag full of pastina and fucking and socks and fucking mirrors and nail clippers and shit. Like I'm going to live in a world where, you know, coming home with 35 nail clippers is just what you do because you didn't have to pay for them. I don't want that. Seeing that special on TLC was my fucking nightmare. That was a confirmation that that can happen. And I didn't know what the fuck to do. Or maybe I was just having a goddamn delusion. Maybe I was just losing my fucking mind because I was sick with the fucking flu and doing work on the house. Christmas was nice. Thank you for asking. Listen, I really appreciate the gesture of you asking how my fucking Christmas was. Because I sure as fuck didn't ask about yours. And I'm sorry about that. I hope it was good. Hope you had it good. Hope you got everything you wanted. Because now I'm in a place where I don't want gifts. I'm not that I'm asking you for fucking gifts. But what I'm saying is, when Christmas comes around, I exchange gifts with people. And before that, in the weeks leading up to that, I've always had trouble telling people something that I'd like for Christmas. I don't want anything. So they'd be like, well, you don't want anything, but I don't know what to get you. So, you know, in years past, I've made wish lists on Amazon. And they've looked at that and they bought that shit. Now I'm at the point where they say, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, you know, get me some fucking beef jerky. I want beef jerky. And some beer. That's it. I don't want anything. I want gifts that I can consume and they're gone. I don't want to store shit. I don't want, you know, cute little fucking memorabilia. Because, you know, as much as I like throwing out shit that I hate, I don't want them spending money so that I can enjoy myself throwing out the shit they gave me that I hate. I'd rather just eat some fucking beef jerky right here. This is my Christmas jerky that I'm holding up to the camera. If you're listening downloaded, you're not seeing it, but it's fucking delicious and it's almost gone. And I held it and now my dog jumped on my fucking chair and that's it. Casey in the chat room is saying that she got me a gift this year. It's a bag of dome lids. If you honestly, whoever is listening to this, if we exchange gifts next year, wrap up dome lids from any fucking coffee place and some cups. Because honestly, You know, dome lids alone are great. But just give me some fucking cups, because I do have a Keurig machine, and I'd like to take some coffee on the road. Dome lids would be a perfect fucking gift. Something that I can use, enjoy, and throw out. That's my ideal fucking gift. But, went through it. Christmas came and went. It's fine. As we're driving home from Amanda's parents' house, I noticed that I'm getting cold. I'm getting a goddamn disease. I feel the illness coming on. And the way I knew this is because Amanda's perpetually cold. She turns the heat up in the car, and I feel much hotter than normal, to the point where I'm hallucinating. I pass out from the fucking heat. I wake up in my parents' driveway, in the car, in the passenger seat, because Amanda's driving. Because I had a few. It was Christmas. So she agreed to drive home. And because she agreed to drive home, she had full say of the fucking temperature in the car. And she turned it up to Sahara. And it knocked me out. Woke up when we were in the driveway. And I knew that I was in trouble. The next day, scratchy throat, warm head, getting sick. And then it fucking snowed. And by the time I had to shovel, I had full-on fucking flu. To the point where you can't even lay down. I don't think I've had a flu, cold, whatever you want to call it, this bad ever. I couldn't even fucking be comfortable laying the fuck down. Every 10 minutes, I went from insanely hot to I'm fucking freezing. But I had to shovel. Because we have a sidewalk. And you know, I was told that if you don't shovel a sidewalk on your property, you're going to incur some kind of a fine. Or someone could slip and fall, and then you'd have to pay out some kind of fucking claim. I don't know. I heard all these horror stories. So in my dumb fucking mind, I have it in my head that, well, I'm sick, but I have to shovel. So I went out and shoveled everything. To a point. I leave the sidewalk for last. And the snow hump at the end of it. The snow hump when the roads get plowed and it pushes this fucking hill of ice and piss and fucking dirt at the end of your driveway. I left all that shit for last, the hardest work. And I start doing it and my neighbor comes out. You want to use my snowblower? And a godsend. But my response is, no, I'm good. I'm okay, thanks. And he goes, you got a lot to do there, I noticed. You can use it. So I just stopped the bullshit, took it and used it. But when I went over to his house to accept the snowblower to use, he kind of meekly asked me, like, did you have a good holiday? We didn't really speak before this, too personally, so I guess he didn't really know. There was a lack of decoration at my house, because we're not living there. And I guess he kind of was testing the waters to see if he was in for another set of Jewish neighbors. And as I looked at his house with the fucking, with the baby Jesus blow mold and the fucking, the camel and the creche. And the stars and all the fucking decorations. I said, yes, I had a very, very nice Christmas. And I swear to God, I noticed a sense of comfort wash over the guy. I have no idea what the fuck the previous owners of this house put him through with their non-Christianity. But the sense of relief I felt from this man, it tells me that he couldn't stand it. That he could not fucking stand being the only one to put up Christmas decorations. And you know what? He's still going to be one because I don't fucking do that shit. Anyway, borrowed his snowblower, took care of it in a fucking snap, and I left it outside. Didn't, like, knock on the door. I just fucking, when I was done, I wheeled it over to his house, and I left it outside. Drove away, and that was it. Very, very nice thing, though, I got to say. What was also nice is that I noticed that none of my neighbors to my right or left shoveled their fucking sidewalks. I was the only one to do it. And then I realized this is the neighborhood where you drive around and you see people walking and trying to get exercise. And they never use the fucking sidewalks. So I'm under the impression that if you have a sidewalk, you have to keep it clean because people might fall. But they never fucking use it. So why am I breaking my ass to try and do this for these fucking people? I don't know. I was always told there's some kind of fucking fine. If you know it, email me or something. I don't know. If you know that there's some kind of fucking penalty for not doing it, I would love to hear it. But as far as I know, I've been taken on this shit. People don't do it. And if one person doesn't do it, the sidewalk is useless for anybody who would normally use it. So they just walk in the street anyway. So all I really need to do is just have somebody fuck the curve up. And then I have an example where I can say, hey, well, this guy didn't shovel his sidewalk. Why would I bother? And then nobody does it. And then nobody uses the sidewalks. And then we're all free to put fucking grass over them. And then we never have to worry about it again. It just seems like a plan that can't possibly fucking fail, but absolutely will. Oh man, I've got snots dripping out of my fucking nose. And I'm still sick. And I'm done taking medicine. Cause I did a lot of research looking for the right medicine for what I needed. And this isn't, I'm not leading into some kind of plug for a certain product, but I like DayQuil. And it's because it's got acetaminophen and that dextromethorphan shit, which is basically Tylenol and Robitussin. Those are the two things you fucking need if you get a cold. Do you have a cough? You need Robitussin. Do you have a fever? You need Tylenol. That's all you fucking need. You don't, and the biggest fucking scam, if you happen to be a fan of a specific brand, is that, oh, they have a flu version of it. Or they have a head cold version of it. And then you look at the active ingredients, it's completely fucking different. You may as well just be buying the fucking CVS brand Tussin, pineapple flavor. Or whatever I don't know, it's just fucking terrible. But you know what I really, really enjoy? Video conferencing. From ICU, that's ICU2.com. I say from ICU as if that's their company. It's ICU2. That's ICU2.com. You know, use it, and you'll be face to face with people from all over the fucking globe. Listen, don't fuck around with other things. Don't these late to the game motherfuckers don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Go with the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. You know what? They're so good and they got so much mileage out of that one award that they're willing to skip a year. Go to ICU, the number 2.com. It's free to try. Download it right now. Oh, did you hear that? I swallowed that fucking snot. I fucking swallowed the goddamn snot. So yeah, it is a new year. They're not, they're, you know, 2009 was 2 years ago at this point. And not that ICU2 is any less great because they may or may not have won in 2010. I don't even know if the People's Choice Award has gone off yet. But it's 2011 or 2011 or however the fuck you want to say it. According to our poll, people want to say 2011. That's the preferred way to say it. And I don't really give half of a fuck how you want to say it. It's just the year. It's just a new demarcation of a collection of time. But people often use it for reflection, for goal setting. And it all starts on New Year's Eve. Everybody picks out their fucking resolutions. And this is the year you're not going to be fat. And this is the year you're not going to smoke. You're not going to drink. You're going to cure yourself of everything that everybody has told you is wrong with yourself. And also, this is the year that you're going to fail again. I don't care about your fucking, your resolutions. I really don't care about it. But people love to share them. They like to make them, and they love to tell everybody that they've planned on doing this. And I don't know what it is. I guess maybe they need validation that they're gonna try to improve their lives. I guess they want to maybe say it and hear it being said, and try to gauge a reaction. Like if someone says, "Hey, you know, I'm done with smoking as of January 1st. It's my New Year's resolution." And if someone says, "I don't give a fuck what you do, smoke now." Well, maybe that's kind of a little bit detrimental to their effort. If they have to tell somebody to do it, they're not going to do it. That's pretty much how it is. They're just seeking attention. That's what I never got. If you want to do it, you'll just fucking do it. You won't wait for a fucking a specific date. I'm going to the gym. It's 2011. I'm going 2 times a week, nothing crazy, 2 times a week, and I'm going to get in shape. And then they wait. And then what do they expect someone to say? Like, "Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, you know, I was thinking of doing the same thing." But meanwhile, both of them know, shut your mouth. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to do it. Stop telling me this every fucking year. And the whole Happy New Year thing, to me, it's a little uncomfortable. I don't like wishing people a Happy New Year instead of just saying hello. But I feel like I have to. When I went to... excuse me. holy shit. Man, before the show, I was mucus-free. And now I am... completely chock full of fucking snot. So I went to the bagel place. And the first thing out of their mouth was, "Hey, Happy New Year!" And I've just felt like a little dirty wishing them a Happy New Year. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But when I say that to people, I feel like I'm catering to something that doesn't fucking matter. Like, for the last 2 weeks of last year, you didn't want that to be fucking happy. You didn't want that to be happy for me. It's one thing to say Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday, but Happy New Year drags on and fucking on and fucking on. And there's always the one person who never fucking stops saying it, and they'll always use it for the first time they meet somebody that year. And to me, New Year's Day, that's it. Happy New Year, and that's it. Pristine is being an asshole, and he's saying he uses it until June. No, you fucking don't. Stop it. You'll never meet somebody in May and say Happy New Year. Stop it. That is the worst. It's the worst I've ever fucking heard. The time for saying Happy New Year is fucking over, and it's been 3 days old at this point. And I think saying that is kind of like allowing people granting people caring for their goals. Someone says, "Hey, Happy New Year." It's like, "Oh, hey, no, Happy New Year to you. Everything you're planning to do is not going to fail, as we both know it will." I don't know. But I like New Year's Eve. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the midnight toast. I enjoy watching the various TV shows and hearing how great everything's going to be and how great everything is wherever everybody is. And one thing that has happened lately and in the recent years, there's always the funny person who thinks that it's going to be just a goddamn hoot to shout, "Why don't you just go away? Why don't you just retire?" to Dick Clark. Why are you watching it? Why? If you're that... fuck. If you're that adamant that the guy is, I just feel uncomfortable watching him. I feel uncomfortable listening to him. Then don't! Nobody's making you watch him. Don't watch the fucking ball. Who gives a shit? I like hearing the guy talk. I mean, the guy suffered a fucking major stroke and came back from it to the point where he could fold his hands and count to 10. Listen, that's, if you could get that out of somebody and still put him on TV, that's a little bit impressive, isn't it? But no, not to the person who's got their fucking Miller Lite in their hand, screaming at a TV, doing their best impression of what they think he really sounds like. Why don't you just retire? Listen, the guy is a million fucking years old, and he had fucking brain trauma, and he still can do it. I don't know. To me, I think that's a little bit fucking impressive and worthy of at least something other than the same fucking just rant and screaming over and fucking over and fucking over again. And this year, we were treated with something different, though. We were treated with a Jersey Shore-themed fucking countdown. And I don't care where you were. Somebody was all would bring it up like it was this major fucking occurrence. Oh, hey, did you know that Snooki's gonna drop in a ball? I had to hear that. And we had to go back and forth. Because, hey, who knows? Maybe the rope will snap and she'll fucking die. No. It is the most stupid fucking shit that... And I hate it, and it's such a goddamn... It just tells the tale of this fucking country. That you can say Snooki and some basic fucking action and people are enthralled. I don't fucking get it. I'll never understand it. I hate the fucking show. It's not entertaining, but people love it. The fucking people love it, and I just can't fucking get behind it. I don't know what it is. I don't care about fucking Jersey Shore culture, or people in bars screaming, or arguments, or drama. I just couldn't fucking be bothered with it. I don't think it's fucking funny. I mean, I know I saw whatever they tried to do for New Year's Eve. I think they had some pre-recorded skits. And I'm sitting there in a chair just observing the people observing the skits. And I guess Vinny from the fucking Jersey Shore is saying some things, showing some shit off, and just fucking annihilating people. In this room that I was in, people, oh my God, you would have thought fucking Carlin showed up from the dead and started doing his best material for everybody. The way they were laughing at a fucking sight gag from some fucking Guido who goes to the beach. A national fucking phenomenon about people who go to the fucking beach. Do you remember a time when TV was about a story? Or some kind of writing. If you went back in time and they asked, hey, well, what happened to TV? What's the big thing on TV right now? It's like, oh, a bunch of assholes go to the beach. Oh yeah, but what happens? No, the thing is, they're from New Jersey and they go to the beach and it's great. And the world loves it. I don't fucking understand it. I just don't fucking understand it. And you know what? I think that if Carlin did come back from the goddamn dead, zombie Carlin, as they're calling him in the chat room, I have to say that that story would probably not trend on Twitter as high as Snooki drops from the ball. More people would want to pay attention to some fat fucking midget whore who eats pickles than one of the great comedic minds our country, world, globe has ever fucking seen, who found a way to come back from death. I would say that is a fucking lock. Snooki would be more popular now than Zombie Carlin. And it's fucking sad. Because people would say, oh, what, Carlin, what, the seven dirty words? They would generalize him like that. But they wouldn't think of generalizing the Jersey Shore as people who like to go to the beach. No, because there's depth for them for that. It's pure fucking shit. Pure fucking shit. I can't stand it. And the clamoring for it. Listen, I don't care if you like Dick Clark, you don't like how he speaks, you think he should retire. I really don't give a fuck. Personally, I think he should be maybe a little bit in awe that he's still doing it. But I completely understand not wanting to watch it. But when the alternative is, hey, I don't want to watch this shit. Okay, fair point. What would you like to watch? I want to watch Snooki! Oh. Great. Just fucking hideous. Absolutely fucking hideous. I don't know. To me, I'm fucking done with it. My advice to everybody is to stop giving a shit and giving fucking fame to these nothings. These absolute fucking nothings who bring nothing to you. I can't stress enough how little I understand the fucking Jersey Shore. I live in New Jersey. I've seen these people my entire life. I don't understand how you can go to any part of the fucking country and say Snooki or Situation. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. And Tilt is a friend of ours, and he's saying in the chat room, they bring me joy. I see their lives, and I feel better about mine. Well, how fucking sad is that? Don't you think maybe you should take the hours you spend watching these people with terrible lives and try to work to make your fucking life better? Don't you think that? And yeah, I know you're being facetious, and I know you're being shitty about that, but that is the exact answer a lot of people give when you ask them, why do you watch this? Well, I watch it, and it makes me feel better about being me. Or I watch it because they just get into such crazy situations. Fucking hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. I don't give a shit. I don't know. I don't care. And you know what? Right now, it's fucking brilliant. Everybody loves them. Have at it. And fucking enjoy it. Season 3's coming up. Hey, they've got a new whore. You're gonna love it. I bet you she fucks some people. And I bet you she drinks a lot of alcohol. I don't know. I just don't see the fucking appeal. I don't see the fucking appeal. Uh, 2011, and it's the same shit. It's the same shit, and it's always gonna be the same fucking shit. Everything that we have now sucks. Everything we had then is great. Why is that always the way? Why is that always the fucking path that people take? That's where what I take. I look back and I'm like, oh, well, you know, TV was great then. And what am I yearning for? Mr. Belvedere? Jesus Christ. Looks like we have a caller. And if you want to call the show, you can do that. It's 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Rob. Tilt215. Oh, my God. Dude, I haven't pulled that name out in, like, years. How you doing?
Rob Tilt, how are you? I'm doing okay. It's good to hear from you.
Dude, you sound like my fucking grandfather.
Really?
Get off it. Wow, TV was so much better when I was younger. Oh, man, I don't know how the kids can watch this crap these days. Dude, how old are you?
I'm 30 years old. And you know what? You know what? Your grandfather's obviously a man with taste and smarts. And he's not going
to
be...
Have you ever gone back and tried to watch old school TV? I'm not talking like, you know, I don't know, Hogan's Hero shit. I'm talking the shit that we don't see anymore on TV because it was so bad.
Are you talking about Growing Pains?
Listen, dude, Growing Pains is awful.
Are you serious?
Have you tried to go back and watch Growing Pains?
I did recently, and I actually was surprised at how many well-written jokes there were in one episode.
Oh, shit. stop the nonsense. Stop the nonsense. Next thing you're going to start referencing TGIF. Dude, Full House. Remember how great that show was? Full House.
Full House was garbage. Full House was the beginning of the end. Full House was probably the reason that a lot of this shit, got to take shape. People just wanted to watch situations and they didn't give a shit about content. Look how big of a hit that fucking show was. It was probably the precursor to reality TV. Just, I don't know. Listen, there are only a few good TV shows that are universally good. And Jersey Shore, as big a hit as it is right now, will never be on that list. And I'm sorry that you think I'm your grandfather. I'm sorry.
You might eat those words when they get to like Jersey Shore season 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think got longevity out of this.
Yeah, because when they're 40 and it's still the same people having their fucking abs out being rubbed. And that's the fucking brilliance.
But see, that's not going to happen. That's why they already started introducing a new person.
Oh.
You know, and then maybe next season they'll introduce somebody else new and a little younger. And then next season, next thing you know, all the original cast is long gone and it's just this new people.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so old sounding to you. And I'm sorry that my viewpoint isn't one that is accepting and free of judgment.
Listen, can I call you Mr. New Style?
Yes, you may.
Hello, Mr. Style.
Sure.
I just want to say, we go way back. I have not listened to the show live in a very long time. And I really just, and I have to run out of my house, but I remembered it was Tuesday when I put you on. And I can't listen to you live on my Android for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to call and bust your balls, man, and say Happy New Year. I love you. I'm still listening, just not live anymore.
Hey, good to hear from you too. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And thanks for calling and complaining about my personal preferences as far as TV goes.
Yeah, no problem. See you, man.
All right, dude. Take care. Did you see that I dodged the Happy New Year? Did you see that I dodged it? And I did that intentionally. I really have no problem saying Happy New Year. I don't even know. I just hate that it's something you have to fucking say. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hello. This is Clayton from Texas. How are you, sir?
Clayton from Texas. I'm doing quite well. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I would wish you a Happy New Year, but I don't know if you're in the mood to hear that. But
I'm not.
Yeah. Well, no. I suddenly realized from our last paper, maybe it is our age, I don't know, but I know that I have made the reference before that now I've hit a certain age where I completely understand the phrase, turn that shit off.
Turn that shit off.
And I didn't exactly know what it was until now. I can just walk in, hear something in like 10, 15 seconds and just know instantly, like, I don't like that.
No.
I don't like it. I don't want it.
I guess you hit an age where you don't you no longer want to like stuff. You don't want to be put in a situation where you have to feel things out. You know what the fuck you like, and you know that's not it. So turn it the fuck off.
Right, that or my dad said it a couple of years ago. I said, "Hey, Dad, why don't you go see this movie?" He said, "I've already seen it." I said, "No, you haven't. You can't." He said, "Son, I've been watching movies a long time. I've seen all the plots. I've seen, like, it's the same movie. The TV shows, it's the same thing. Why get into it? It's like we even joked about, like, watching NBA basketball. I've already seen the greatest player ever play the game.
Yeah.
So why bother watching this now? Because I've already seen the best.
Yeah.
And so it's I don't know, it's a little bit crazy, but... Oh, wait, speaking of which, I was thinking about you, I see your former co-host, or temporary fill-in from time to time, I went into a convenience store, and I was in Austin in business a couple days ago, and this wonderful cashier behind the counter, there was nobody in the place. It was, in Texas, you can drive for miles and not see anybody, so you can walk into a convenience store and there not be a soul in it. And so they probably haven't seen anybody in hours, and they were being overly nice. Like, hey, how's it going? You can smell if they're doing barbecue or something in the back. Just being overly nice as I make a beeline for their restroom and drop a bomb. In it. And I felt like, yes, that overly nice cashier is like trying to make me feel welcome, and I just dropped an aborted fetus in the toilet, and then I feel guilty. And I was thinking of Frank too, because I was like, I just went bare bottom on a public toilet. I said, I got to get this out of me. I don't care.
Well, I mean, especially when they're so nice to you, when you engage with one of the cashiers or an employee at a store, and then you get eye contact with them when you have to leave that bathroom, because a convenience store isn't that big. Like, the entrance to the bathroom and where you pay and get food really are within a 6 foot diameter. So you come out of that knowing what you did, and it's written all over your face. And that person who was like, hey, thanks for coming in, how's everything going, blah, 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 just knows that you fucking destroyed the bathroom that they might have to use on their break in 15 minutes.
Right. That waft that comes out the door, and you just, you know, and I don't know. What's keeping me, I guess, at least at this age, honest, is the fact that I still have that guilt. My dad said, I don't care. I'll drop it in the floor. I don't care.
But don't you look forward to that, where you just don't care? Am I alone there? I mean, where you look forward to the point where you just don't give a shit anymore? Like, I really like to not care what people think, and if I could destroy a bathroom and create such a stench cloud that when you open it, you know that part of it's going to affix itself to like the rolls in the bin,
it's going
to just flush itself out of that small bathroom into the area where fucking uncovered food is, and you don't care, you don't give a shit. A sneer comes your way, you're not even thinking of it. I dream of that day.
You know, I think though, Ken, I think maybe as you get older, just being, I say single or not having kids, I could see, like, maybe, for example, your dad, and after you have a couple kids, like me, I'm building up that tolerance. I just don't, you know, oh, I've had such a bad day, dude. I just changed green poop.
Yeah.
For the last 3.5 years. I don't care.
Yeah.
The
opinion of a 17-year-old money taker at a fucking gas station means so little to me now that I've fucking cleaned up a gallon of trick cereal shit.
And you listen to them on the phone complain about, my mom won't let me go out, or she's being a bitch because she's making me, you know, do chores or something like that. Just come on.
Yeah.
At your age, you don't have to worry about anything but just banging and just watching Jersey Shore. And that last caller, I agree, dude. I went back and looked at the TV. Has been horrible all along. But there are some gems that come along that you're like, I'm into. Jersey Shore, nobody down here watches that. Nobody. It shows you a national phenomenon. Nobody cares. Yeah, nobody knows.
But you know who they are.
Maybe. I don't really think so. I don't think it's anybody's guilty pleasure here.
You could go into a crowded area and ask 20 people who Snooki is, and more than 10 they know?
No.
I would love to hear you do that research on Hate Us Talk or better yet, Bug Zapper Radio.
Yeah, by the way, on Bug Zapper, we're going to try an experiment or whatever. I really want to say what we're going to do, but I think as I'm thinking about it, I think I need to keep the secret. But we're going to do some really interesting, crazy, you know what, so to speak.
All right.
On Bug Zapper. But I'll leave you. I just wanted to call in and unwish you a happy new year and congratulations, and hopefully on the new format. And I will talk to you later, sir.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And go to hateustalk.com. That's hateustalk.com for all of your Bug Zapper and Hate Us Talk radio needs. Clayton, thank you very much for calling, and I appreciate it, bud. Oh, you just hung up. Fuck you too, then. You know what? How about you eat some shit? Huh? Well, you know what? We're just going to wrap up the goddamn episode with that. Listen, the conclusion of this whole fucking episode right now is that I don't like what America likes. I'm tired of being told that everything that that is number one or is tops in the eye of most people in this country is everything that I should be looking into, checking out, hearing, eating, and fucking drinking. So I'm sorry. The Little Fockers sucks. Jersey Shore sucks. And all of you need to watch whatever the fuck you want to watch, but just shut your fucking mouth before you try to utter the words, "Hey, Two and a Half Men really is a funny fucking show." You should definitely, definitely listen to that. With that, I want to let everybody know that this year may or may not be as good as the last. Thank you for tuning in. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download every episode. Subscribe. Tell your friends. And bear with me. I'm new to this fucking format. I'm working on it.